if we really got it from this psalm, how would it change our lives? If we really got the impact and the message of this psalm, how would it change our lives? Years and years ago, when the church first started, there was an explosion of, you know, remember Jesus left the earth, the Holy Spirit was poured out, and there was an explosion, and the church began to grow, and all kinds of things happened. And the enemies of the church at that time said, these guys have turned the world upside down. I really believe that if you let the Word of God impact your life, it will turn your world upside down. Change is stressful. Even positive change is stressful. But don't be afraid to let God's Word and God's move and God's Spirit totally turn your world upside down. Many of us want our families turned upside down. Our workplaces, our communities turned upside down. Your environment turned upside down. I really think if we got it, what God was showing us through Psalms generally and through this Psalm in particular, our lives would be absolutely transformed. Last week I said this, if fear wasn't an issue, how would that change your life? And we said very clearly that perfect love casts out fear. If we really got that, our lives would be changed. Fear holds people back. It oppresses people. It hinders people. If we really got it that God loved us as a perfect Father, how would that change our thinking? How would that change our lives? And the thing about these Psalms towards the end of the book of Psalms, as I said at the start of the service, they're basically hallelujah Psalms. Every one of these Psalms starts with hallelujah and ends with hallelujah. And then Psalm 150, the very last Psalm, it's like, if I could say this, it's like an orgy of hallelujahs. It's absolutely amazing. And if you look at the book of Psalms, you'll see some of the Psalms have complaints in it. Some of the Psalms of lamentation, Psalm 51. Some of the Psalms has anguish being expressed to God. Some of the Psalms are thanksgiving Psalms. But the book of Psalms ends on an incredibly high note. And there's a message even in that. Whatever we're walking through in life, whatever the enemy's doing, at the end of the day, it's all going to end with a hallelujah. God rules and God reigns. And so I just wanted to pull out a few thoughts from this psalm. And the theme is, if we really got these things, how would it change our lives? How would it turn our lives upside down? And the first couple of verses, which we read earlier, it says, praise the Lord, O my soul, I'll praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. The first thing that we would really get, the first change, is that we would become a person of praise and singing. And that we would have a religion that's full of joy and enjoyment. We need to hear that. People have this terrible idea that religion is something dead and glum, and that to follow God or to know God is boring. If we're not getting it, if we don't see this in this psalm, basically the psalmist is saying, I'm going to praise God with my whole being. I will sing praises to my God while I have life. That is the mark of spiritual reality. One of the things that I do from time to time is I do a marriage preparation course. And at the end of this book I use, it's very interesting, it gives you 10 questions that if you can't answer yes to them, you probably should seriously think about not getting married to that person. And one of the questions is brilliant. Does my fiance or my fiancee energize me and bring life to me or drain me? I have to say that my not to embarrass Heather, my wife, but she puts value into my life. She puts energy into my life. Sometimes she'll correct me. Sometimes we have our ups and downs. But she puts energy into my life. That's how it should be with God. we need a Christianity that our relationship with God, it's vibrant and alive and energetic. And the psalmist is clearly enjoying his relationship with God, and that's how it should be. I walked into the surgery during the week, and I was thinking about singing and praise and all that kind of stuff. I was actually meditating on this psalm, and I walked into the reception area and caught the receptionist. They were really embarrassed, and they were singing along to that old Morecambe and Wise tune, "Give me sunshine, give me
joy."
Yes. Here's the thing. Scientific studies have confirmed that singing's good for you. It's good for your heart. It's good for your breathing. It's good as a de-stressor. It's good for building bonding with other people. Singing is not something minor in God's thinking. We need to get over that idea of it's just the praise time. It's just singing. It's much, much more than that. And if people can sing silly songs, how much more if you've got a theme to sing about? There is a contest in the world today over music. Why should the devil have all the good music? We have the highest theme for poetry, for music, for concerts, for celebration, for praise, for singing, for doing Mexican waves. I have to confess, I'm a West Ham supporter, and I'm ashamed of what my brothers did yesterday.
You should be.
I should be, correct. But you know, we have something to sing about as Christians. And it's very interesting. If you go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17 to 21, you'll see something. It says like this. This will not come up on the screen, so don't worry, Caleb, that's fine. It says like this. Don't be stupid. Anybody want to be stupid?
No. Yeah.
Okay, let's not be stupid. It says, understand what the will of God is. Want to know the will of God for your life? Yeah, absolutely. Here it comes. Mm-hmm. Steady, ready, steady, go. It says, don't get drunk with wine. Good advice. Because that leads to debauchery, all kinds of nonsense. Doesn't it? I can take you to people who, when they're drunk, they will do things and say things they would never do in the right mind. They'll kill people. They'll get involved in all kinds of debauchery. But the will of God is very positive. It's not just negative. What is the positive side? It says, don't get controlled with wine, for that leads to all kinds of problems, but be continually filled with the Spirit. And the manifestation of being continually filled with the Spirit is addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart with the Lord, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Make the connection, join the dots. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, singing kicks in. Melody kicks in. Thanksgiving kicks in. It's a little bit like being drunk, actually, in the positive sense. I've always struggled all my life with self-consciousness. You know, when I used to walk into a room and I assumed everybody was looking at me, and I blushed. I actually blushed, trying not to blush. And because of my skin colour and everything else, you know, people used to look at me and go, "Beamer!" And very, very self-consciousness. That's why some people drink wine, to overcome self-consciousness. A lack of confidence. But I've discovered a better fix, a better addiction, a better way. Be filled with God. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it will help you overcome all those things that hold us back, being who we really want to be, what Jesus wants us to be. And so it is not a small thing to really get this message, to become a person of praise, singing, and joy and enjoyment in spite of difficulties. You see, someone would say to me, "But Stephen, for me to praise God, it's a sacrifice." Correct. For me to praise God, I would be doing violence to all that the devil wants me to do and say, you've got. For me to praise God anyway would mean I'd have to walk by faith and not by sight. I'd have to walk by faith and not feelings. I'd have to believe God's word rather than the devil's word. I'd have to believe that it's possible and practical for an ordinary person like me to yet praise God. I want to say as strongly as we can, it's possible to yet praise God in all situations and circumstances. Have you ever wanted to be a conductor of a choir? Or an orchestra. I love to go to one of these really fancy concerts and get up and pretend I'm the conductor and start doing this just to see what happened. Or to lead a big choir. And then I discovered that I can be my own choir master. And I can speak to my soul. And I can speak to my body. And I can speak to my mind. Praise the Lord, Stephen. Will get into line with the Holy Spirit. Emotions get into line with the Holy Spirit. Thought life get into line with the Holy Spirit. Activate your mouth and tongue. Activate your hands. The scripture that Rawson read to us, it says, present your body as a living sacrifice and be renewed in your mind. And that we can be our own choir master. It's not a wonderful thought. Who's in charge of your soul? Who's in charge of your body? Is it the Lord or not the Lord? I want it to be the Lord. And so this no small thing. If we really can get this, we become a people of praise and worship. Verses 3 to 5. Second point. Here's something else we need to get. It says, put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there's no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God. See, if I was to say to you, praise God under all circumstances, if I was to say that to myself as a choir master, if I was to say it's possible and practical to have a relationship with God where it's energizing, to be filled with the Holy Spirit is to sing and be thankful in all circumstances. Someone might say, but Stephen, do you not have to kiss your brain goodbye then? Do you not have to deny all those negative things that come against you? But we live in the real world. Is it practical to praise God? And what the scripture has given us here are reasons we can praise God no matter what. And we need to get this. And the first reason is a negative reason. And this will challenge us in a positive way. It says, do not put your confidence in the wrong things. The reason very often we get discouraged, the reason we get depressed, the reason we fall into temptation and sin is we put our confidence in the wrong things rather than the right things. The scripture says, do not put your confidence in princes. Prince Harry, Prince William. What is this talking about? This is talking about, don't put your confidence in people in places of authority and power. They will let you down. If your confidence is in something other than the Lord, you will find that life doesn't go well. Don't put your confidence in the wrong things. I remember during one of the... Sorry, this is a football analogy, brothers and sisters. Forgive me for this. But I remember in one of the World Cups, England were playing Germany again. And Germany beat England again, 4-1. And... the next day, the nation was depressed. Stephen's shaking his head there, but certainly. I did feel quite depressed after that. And I heard a story that there was a helpline had been organised. And remember, the score was 4-1, and the helpline was 0800 41 41 41. And you could ring it. But don't put your confidence in England beating Germany. Even if they do beat Germany. Because it is of no consequence in the grand scheme of things. Don't put your confidence in something temporary. A prince, a government, a politician, a world power. They come and go. Isn't that the truth? We used to be frightened of communism. But communism came down. God had a purpose. He raised it up and then he cast it down. The Roman Empire, he raised it up, he cast it down. Don't put your fear and confidence in the wrong things. That's a major key. I was reading Chronicles during the week. Now, that's a very impressive thing to say, because the first 9 chapters of Chronicles are a list of names. And how could God speak to you through a list of names? I'll just whet your appetite by reading a few of them out here. Adam, Seth, Enosh, Canaan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, Noah, Shem, Ham, Japheth, the sons of Japheth, Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal. Anyone underline that in their Bible? Got that on your fridge? I got a revelation. Every single one of those people were real people, and they're dead. But I'm alive. Now the soul lives on, don't get me wrong. But person after person has had their time on earth, lived and died. Even kings that are listed, chiefs that were listed, mighty hunters were listed. They were there, now they're gone. But we're still alive. It is a good thing to be alive. All the people listed in Chronicles are no longer with us, but we're here. And there's something significant when the living praise God, when the living get a testimony, when the living have an up-to-date testimony and story of God working in their lives, because God is alive. And we are in the land of the living. And that's why it says that when you put your trust in people, you know, their breath goes, they return to the earth. You know, no one in this room is afraid of, let me choose somebody from history. Anybody here scared of Nero? Not at all. I tell you, Nero was a terrifying leader. He was a dictator. He was a persecutor of the church. But he's dead. But Christ is alive. And we're in Christ. What a perspective. There is something gloriously positive in this passage as well, because it says, don't trust in princes, but instead trust in the Lord. Your help is the God of Jacob. Your hope is in the Lord your God. And you know, there is praise that only a cherubim can give. Because they're living close to the throne in heaven. There's praise that only the angels can give. But you know, there's praise that only human beings can give. Because unlike the angels, we've experienced forgiveness of sins. We've experienced redemption. Jesus died on the cross. The angels cannot praise God for that, but I can. And to bring it right up to date, every time I preach, I'm giving praise to God, because I know I can't do that in my own energy and my own strength. Every time I play football, I bring praise to God, because I know that because of my knee issue, I was told to stop playing football. Every time I help somebody or receive help myself, it's a praise to God. Every time God uses me, it's a praise to God. Every time I sacrifice to praise God, it's a praise to God. There is certain praise that only you can give. There's a certain story, a certain testimony, a certain thanksgiving that only you can give. It is unique. And it needs to be heard. It needs to be declared. I used to think, you know, if somebody, one of the things I love about the diversity of people that come to Christ is, you know, when I'm trying to help somebody, I so often realize I can't relate to that person's need. I've never walked what they've walked, but I know somebody who has. I know somebody who has. And sometimes what we realize is that the testimony of somebody who's come out of a background and God has met them in that background is powerful for somebody else who's walking through that background. That's the way God operates. That's why I like the Apostle Paul, because the Apostle Paul described himself as the chief of sinners. Now, I would dispute that. I can think of one or two people I think may have been worse than Paul. I can think of myself. Well, I think I'm worse than you. And Paul would say, maybe it's poetic language, but Paul says, I'm the chief of sinners. And here's the point. If God can change me, he can change anyone. I used to persecute the church. You see, the people that are persecuting Christians, there's Apostle Paul's among them. It's possible that God could break into their lives and they would repent and be transformed. The gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. And so don't put your confidence in princes. Put your confidence in God. God is our help. I love that phrase, God is our help. It sounds so wishy-washy, doesn't it? God is my helper. Can I tell you, biblically, the word help is very, very strong. You remember when Adam was created, God says, I'm going to make a suitable helper for you. And he brought Eve, and that she would be a suitable helper. And the word, Hebrew word implies that she surrounded him and gave him energy and gave him strength and gave him help. That's why we should never, ever devalue marriage, by the way. There's a battle in this country about marriage. We should never devalue marriage. It was God's way of providing help. And if you go for an alternative, you're breaking something in God's order. The Holy Spirit is described as the helper. And I think how the Holy Spirit has humbled himself to designate himself a comforter and a helper. And that's why the gift of helps is so significant in the body of Christ. Everyone wants to be a preacher. Well, maybe they don't, but everyone wants to have a big, high-profile ministry. And nobody wants the gift of helps. Do you know something? Helping people, aiding people, helping people practically, physically, financially, helping people in their journey with God is a very, very powerful ministry. And God is not ashamed to call himself a helper whose hope is in the Lord. Hope is very important. When the Bible talks about hope, it's not talking about some vague thing, I hope things get better. In the Bible, hope is a positive expectation, optimistic, secure that the future is ultimately taken care of and my mind is protected. Hope is very important. When you're helping people with depression, one of the questions you ask them, and the answer to this question determines the difference between maybe somebody who you would maybe be very concerned about the risk of suicide with. And you talk to people who are depressed and they're very down, and many of them have reasons to be down and have been down for a long time and they've no motivation. But here's the question. Do you believe eventually you'll get through this? And many, many people will say, I believe ultimately I've got to get through it for the sake of my children or whatever. But there are people who have lost hope and they say, I do not see any hope whatsoever that I'll get out of this. They are a major risk. But the scripture says, blessed are those whose hope is in the Lord. So hope is not a small matter. It's a huge thing. And I think one of the reasons why I can praise God